Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to the Gardening Canada podcast. I'm your host, Ashley, and I'm a soil scientist. That means we take all that science and apply it to plants. Today's video, we're talking about bone meal and blood meal. Let's just jump straight into it. Hello, plant people. How are you guys doing? So today's video, we're going to be talking about bone meal and blood meal, or sorry, I should say podcast. And if you watched the video, I did break them down into two separate ones. I did a bone meal video and a blood meal video separately. However, truth be told, they kind of should be combined together. So that's what we're going to do here on the podcast. There are some things that you should be warned about when it comes to both of these products. And then there are some benefits to using the products as well. So we're going to start off with Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe bone meal. Now, bone meal is a primarily nitrogen-based product, but it has some calcium and phosphorus. And big surprise there, calcium and phosphorus comes from the fact that it is ground down animal bones. The important thing to remember here is that soils in North America, for the most part, are not calcium deficient or magnesium deficient. So this addition really isn't going to do much unless you have a heavily agriculture intensive type garden homestead, which may be the case for market gardeners or continuous croppers out there. But for your average gardener, a calcium deficiency is highly unlikely. Now, I often get asked the question, well, what do you mean? That's where blossom and rot comes from. And you would be wrong. Blossom and rot is a calcium deficiency. However, fun fact, it's not actually a calcium deficiency. Generally, it's a pH issue in your soil, meaning your pH is too high or too low for calcium absorption to take place. So if you did not know, all plant nutrients has a bioavailability spectrum, meaning it becomes bioavailable at different pHs, whether that be a low pH or a high pH, it just kind of depends on the nutrient you're aiming for. But a good rule of thumb is around a 6.5 pH wise is ideal for calcium and magnesium uptake. Another really fun fact is if you are continually having issues with blossom end rot and you are starting your seedlings from home in your greenhouse, there's actually a high likelihood that the calcium deficiency is developing at the seedling stage. So a majority of us gardeners will grow in either a peat or a coconut coir based mixed, and then we will bump it up into different seed starter mixes depending on the brand. Now the issue here is that it doesn't have soil in it, meaning it doesn't have that glacial rock that has been ground down and has bioavailable calcium, meaning that the seedling from the get-go is calcium deficient. So if you have a soilless medium that you're growing in or seed starting in, adding bone meal and that calcium can be beneficial only if it is bioavailable, meaning it's available for plant uptake and there's no other degradation that needs to take place. So the rawer the form, powder, granular, bone meal, all is going to have a longer time period in which the degradation takes place, right? So kind of makes sense. If you can get like a liquid bone meal option, this is always the better option here, but that is something to keep in mind. Now, calcium deficiency in seedlings, the best way to just deter this in general is just with a liquid calcium magnesium fertilizer that's inorganic or organic, either or will work. I find generally using granulars and that sort of thing in especially the seed starting trays never works out the way you intend it to. It takes a longer period of time, unfortunately. So that is something to keep in mind, but it is something that bone meal provides. Keep in mind, it is a slow release, meaning it takes time for those nitrogens and calciums and phosphorus to be released from the system, but it does happen eventually. The other big claim with bone meal is that it helps increase root activity. So this is true, but I do think it's like a literary misinterpretation. So because of the higher levels of phosphorus, anything that has bone meal in its rhizosphere is going to naturally have more root biomass, and this is due to the phosphorus. Phosphorus builds roots, and this isn't a bad thing when it comes to seedlings. It lessens transplant shock and it can develop a healthier plant in general. Where it ends up kind of nipping us in the butt is if we're using mycorrhizal fungi or any sort of, whether that be ecto or endomycorrhizal fungi, or we're using phosphate solubilizing bacterias, that sort of thing. So if we're putting our hard-earned money into these products and then we're using bone meal alongside them, this excess phosphorus means that the bacteria and the fungi will not be activated. So plants have something they like to release called exudates. These are basically like sugars. And if they want McDonald's for supper, they're going to release these sugars that call in McDonald's. In this case, it would be phosphorus. So with phosphorus being present in the soil, the plant never gets the signal to release the sugars to call in the bacteria or the fungi that solubilize more phosphorus from the soil. So this means that the excess phosphorus in the rhizosphere will leave fungi spores or bacteria dormant. Now, for fungi spores, this isn't a big deal because spores are tough. They will survive for years, meaning that when your soil finally does become deficient, then the spores will be activated. The issue may be with bacteria, which can survive in extreme circumstances, but generally speaking, if they're not activated or they're not multiplying, they don't have a food source, then they tend to die off and the colonies will eventually disappear. Now, how long this takes, the time frame you have for this to work within, it all is going to depend on obviously the type of bacteria you're using. So I do not recommend using bone meal if you're using a mycorrhizal fungi product beside it. And all intents and purposes, when it comes to these mycorrhizal products, I did a YouTube video on how to read these products. And I also encourage you guys to look into this a little bit more just on your own. But generally speaking, for exotic plants like houseplants and that sort of thing, I would choose bone meal over using a mycorrhizal fungi because I just don't see any data to suggest that the symbiosis is being achieved just because the species aren't there yet. Now, one thing to keep in mind is when it comes to fruits and vegetables, that your growing season, if it's shorter, may not be long enough to allow the myco to actually establish well enough to make any sort of difference. So again, you may choose bone meal over the mycorrhizal fungi products. The one where I am totally on the fence and I likely would suggest mycorrhizal fungi products over bone meal would be anything that is shrub, bush, or tree in nature, or perennial for that matter. And that's because trees and brush all benefit from myco first and foremost, beyond benefiting from the excess FOS. So,
hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Plants, we want to establish this mycelium network. They're there for long term because they're a perennial. So this is something that I would aim for whenever possible. So with that being said, with bone meal, use with caution. It is effective to use in a soilless medium, coconut coir, peat moss, container gardening, house plants, that sort of thing, seed starting. And I would not use it if I'm transplanting a perennial, a tree, a bush, that sort of thing. However, you may want to consider using it if you're transplanting outdoors, because that excess FOS that is now available to that plant, maybe it's placed right into the hole when you go to transplant, is all going to aid in root development. Next on the list is blood meal. So blood meal is obviously dried blood. This is the dried blood generally from the slaughterhouse. So it can range from pig to chicken to cow's blood. It just all depends. This product is high in nitrogen and has some phos, but isn't nearly as high in phosphorus as the bone meal. So you can see how these work hand in hand. A full spectrum fertilizer is going to have N, P, and K, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. And when we combine the two, we get a full spectrum type fertilizer. This is why I think that the two should be combined if we're looking for an effective organic fertilizer that has a little bit of everything. Now, one thing to keep in mind, because it is so high in nitrogen, and I'm talking some of these products can be so shockingly high for organic product, that is for sure, it can affect our carbon to nitrogen ratios. So because of the excess nitrogen and the lack of carbon being added, it can throw this ratio off. This means it can then affect natural microbial activity or just decomposition in our soil, but it also can simultaneously affect fungi and bacteria growth and colonies in our soils. Now, this isn't something we commonly see when we're adding compost or vermicast or anything of that nature, because we're adding both the NPK along with the carbon. However, with blood meal and bone meal, even combined, it has some carbon, but not much compared to an actual compost or manure. So this means I highly recommend actually incorporating a compost into your regimen if you're using blood and bone meal. The exception to this would be if you are using a container garden or a soilless medium such as peat or coconut coir. This again just goes back to the fact that blood and bone meal is designed for container gardeners or for soilless medium growing such as houseplants. And this is the perfect situation to use these products in because of the fact that they have excess carbon in them and just blood and bone meal interacts well. Now keep in mind, whether regardless of what you're doing, whether it be producing food such as leafy greens or fruits and veg in containers or growing houseplants in these products or in these mediums, You have to keep in mind that the soil needs to be moist. There's no more letting the soil dry out over time and then watering when you see the leaves begin to droop, especially for you houseplant folk out there. You do want to make sure you keep that soil moisture really high because you want to keep your microbes happy and multiplying. You need decomposition to take place, you need nutrient cycling to take place, and this stops every time you let the moisture disappear. So I highly recommend not allowing that moisture to get below 20%. Now, kind of an exciting announcement, I guess technically the podcast is going to be the first crowd to even hear these words out of my mouth, but I've been working for over 6 months to almost a year now on a product that actually tests for soil moisture, soil pH, and all that sort of stuff. Now, this is meant for houseplant people, container gardeners, and that kind of crew, cannabis as well, anything indoors, and because it needs a Wi-Fi connection as of right now. I mean, we're working on improvements to make this a more universal product. But nonetheless, it is Canadian designed. It's designed by me and a team of Canadian engineers, and it's actually built and manufactured in Canada as well, which is kind of cool. So this plant sensor is going to work with an app, and it's actually, I've designed it to go off when your soil moisture gets to 20%, just in and around 30 to 20%, because I don't want people's soil drying out. And if you're able to do this before this product comes to the market, we're expecting it to be available mid-June, but it's only going to have limited quantities. So if you don't get your hands on it, don't be heartbroken. But try to do your best to not let that soil moisture get below that 30%. You will be blown away by the results you see, especially if you are using organic fertilizers such as blood and bone meal, for an example. But anyways, I digress. A little bit more on blood meal. It can cause unwanted visitors if you put it outdoors. I've read lots on the fact that dogs, cats, fox, raccoon, any sort of omnivore, carnivore can smell this stuff and will come into the area, and it can cause a little bit of a mess. But one really fun fact about the blood meal is that it provides iron. And this is because of the hemoglobin in blood, obviously. Hemoglobin carries iron, and therefore when it is made into a plant product, it becomes something that's available to the plant. So this is one of the 17 essential nutrients. I did an entire series over on YouTube where I went through all 17 essential nutrients, where they come from, what roles they play, and this is a nutrient that is used regardless, houseplant, gardeners, you name it. And so blood meal does have that. So ultimately, bottom line, my recommendation if you are to use blood or bone meal is to use it in a soil-less medium, meaning coconut coir or peat moss, something of that nature. It is designed for container gardeners. It is designed for houseplant people. I would use it with caution in an outdoor situation, especially if you're spending the money on mycorrhizal fungi or if you know you have critters in the area. Keep in mind, it is a slow-release fertilizer that needs microbial activity to actually cycle those nutrients. So follow the instructions. You can't get burning from these products, so there's no way to really over-apply. However, I have heard some reports of blood meal burning plants. I don't know if that's due to the salt content in the actual blood. Very confusing idea to me, because technically speaking, organic fertilizer should never, ever, ever burn your plants. So I don't know where those statements are coming from. I've personally never seen this happen, but if you have seen blood meal burn your plants, please reach out to me over on Instagram or Facebook. Just look up Gardening in Canada and let me know. I'd be interested in knowing your guys' thoughts on that. But anyways, be sure to come visit me over on other platforms. Say hi. Let me know you found me through the podcast. I've had people actually reach out now officially over on Instagram and DM me saying that they found me via the podcast, which is really, really, really cool. Because honestly, I thought the podcast, I didn't know anyone listened to this, to be totally honest. It's a little bit of a side project, and I kind of enjoy it more than YouTube. Is that weird? I don't know. But anyways, I want to thank you guys so much for listening and tuning in. Have a very awesome springtime season, and I will talk to you guys next week. See ya.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.